and there was no doubt that young Wirt always had plenty of money, and used to turn up at the palace with expensive gifts, exotic suntans, and thrilling tales of the interesting people he'd met in foreign parts, in most cases quite briefly. He wished Wirt was around to advise. His Majesty had also heard that only one student in 15 actually became an assassin. He wasn't entirely certain what happened to the other 14, but he was pretty sure that if you were a poor student in a school for assassins, they did a bit more than throw the chalk at you, and that the school dinners had an extra dimension of uncertainty. But everyone agreed that the assassin's school offered the best all-round education in the world. A qualified assassin should be at home in any company, and able to play at least one musical instrument. Anyone inhumed by an alumnus of the guild school could go to his rest satisfied that he had been annulled by someone of taste and discretion. And after all, what was there for him at home? A kingdom 2 miles wide and 150 miles long, which was almost entirely underwater during the flood season, and threatened on either side by stronger neighbours who tolerated its existence only because they'd be constantly at war if it wasn't there. Oh, the Jelly Baby had been great once, literally, child of the Dajjal, when upstarts like Tussaud and Efeeb were just a bunch of nomads with their towels on their heads. All that remained of those great days was the ruinously expensive palace, a few dusty ruins in the desert, and, the pharaoh sighed, the pyramids. Always the pyramids. His ancestors had been keen on pyramids. The pharaoh wasn't. Pyramids had bankrupted the country, drained it drier than the river ever did. The only curse they could afford to put on a tomb these days was bugger off. The only pyramids he felt comfortable about were the very small ones at the bottom of the garden, built every time one of the cats died. He'd promised the boy's mother. He missed Artella. There'd been a terrible row about taking a wife from outside the kingdom, and some of her foreign ways had puzzled and fascinated even him. Maybe it was from her he'd got the strange dislike of pyramids. In the Jelly Baby, that was like disliking breathing. But he'd promised that Ptepik could go to school outside the kingdom. She'd been insistent about that. "People never learn anything in this place," she'd said. "They only remember things." If only she'd remembered about not swimming in the river. He watched two of the servants load Tepic's trunk onto the back of the coach, and for the first time either of them could remember, laid a paternal hand on his son's shoulder. In fact, he was at a loss for something to say. "We've never really had time to get to know one another," he thought. "There's so much I could have given him. A few bloody good hidings wouldn't have come amiss."
He said. "Well, my boy."
"Yes, father?"
"This is, the first time you've been away from home by yourself."
"No, father. I spent last summer with Lord Femptahem, you remember?"
"Oh, did you?"
The pharaoh recalled the palace had seemed quiet. He'd put it down to the new tapestries.
"Anyway," he said, "you're a young man, nearly 13.
12, father," said Tepic patiently.
"Are you sure?"
"It was my birthday last month, father. You bought me a warming pan."
"Did I? How singular. Did I say why?"
"No, father." Tepic looked up at his father's mild, puzzled features. "It was a very good warming pan," he added reassuringly. "I like it a lot."
"Oh, good.
His Majesty patted his son's shoulder again, in a vague way, like a man drumming his fingers on his desk while trying to think. An idea appeared to occur to him. The servants had finished strapping the trunk onto the roof of the coach, and the driver was patiently holding open the door.
"When a young man sets out in the world," said His Majesty uncertainly, "there are... it's very important that he remembers... the point is that it is a very big world, after all, with all sorts, and of course especially so in the city, where there are many additional..."
He paused, waving one hand vaguely in the air. Tepic took it gently. "It's quite all right, father," he said. "Dios, the high priest, explained to me about taking regular baths and not going blind." His father blinked at him.
"You're not going blind?" he said.
Apparently not, father.
Oh, well, jolly good, said the king. Jolly, jolly good.